Greetings and peace. This is Dr. Lawrence Brown once again with this episode. Last time we were discussing the character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we concluded that we would follow with this episode, which is dedicating to discussing the evidences for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam having been the true prophet that he claimed to be. Now, when we are talking about the miracles that surround a prophet, miracles be divided into two types. Those miracles that occur around the prophet, peace be upon him, as evidence of his prophethood, and those miracles which are channeled through his person, in other words, miracles performed by the will of Allah through that person. And these are the first two evidences of the prophethood of Muhammad, peace be upon him. Other evidences include his character, his persistence and steadfastness, the lack of disqualifiers, and the prophet's maintenance of the message. And we will address all of these in this episode and the episode to follow. So to begin with, we are going to start by discussing the first category of miracles, those miracles which surround a person as evidence of their prophethood, as evidence of divine favor upon them. What are some examples of such kind of miracles? Well, Allah saving Daniel from the lions, saving Jonah from the whale, Abraham from the fire, Moses from Pharaoh. Certainly the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Now, many Westerners, many who are not familiar with the Islamic religion, should be reminded that at the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a miracle of a star as well. According to Hassan ibn Thabit, the legendary Muslim poet, he was in Medina, over 200 miles away from Mecca, when Muhammad, peace be upon him, was born. No way at that time for the message to have been transmitted from Mecca to Medina at that time. And yet, on the day that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, he heard a Jew screaming at the top of his voice, quote, "O my Jewish community, tonight the star of Ahmed," meaning the foretold prophet, Muhammad, "in which he was born upon, has arisen." When you look at the later life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find miracles such as the fact that there were multiple attempts upon his life. Now, you have to forgive me for skipping a lot. This subject has books written upon it, and it cannot be covered in one discussion. So I am jumping from his birth to his adulthood. When Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was bearing the message of revelation, there were those who hated him and wished death upon him. In one case, an unbeliever accosted him with the sword of the prophet, which he had snatched while the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sleeping. And when he threatened him with the sword and said, "Who will save you now?" the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Allah." At that moment, the disbeliever's hand became paralyzed and he could not hold the sword and he dropped it. In another relation, Abu Jahl declared his intention to crush Muhammad's head while he was praying in prostration. He picked up a boulder and advanced towards him while he was praying, intending to crush his head. He was repelled by the vision of a vicious camel, which nobody else could see, and retreated, declaring the vision of this vicious camel that to everybody else's eyes was not there. Similarly, Abu Lahab's wife once went with a handful of stones to stone the prophet. And she found his companion, Abu Bakr, sitting, and she asked him about the whereabouts of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, intending to go and stone him. Well, in fact, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting immediately beside Abu Bakr. They were sitting next to one another. But whereas she could see Abu Bakr, Allah blinded her eyes to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Intending to go and stone him, she could not see him, she could not find him. In other traditions, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed either by miracle or by the angel of revelation, Gabriel, of plots to kill him by poison, by pushing him off a mountainside, and by crushing him with a boulder dropped from a height. In all cases, the plots were true. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to avoid them and, by so doing, remain alive. What is interesting about these stories is two things. One is there was never a false alarm. In a time when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had every reason to believe that everybody was out to kill him, for in fact many were, he did not declare any false plots upon his life. The only times that he identified a plot against his life was when there actually was one. The other thing that is interesting about this scenario is that despite all of these attempts upon his life, when a true prophet or anybody in public position whose life is threatened has every reason to begin to get a little bit paranoid, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he released his bodyguards. Now, why would anybody do something like this? Something we would conceive to be almost crazy. People are trying to kill you. They've made multiple attempts, and you release your bodyguards? Who in their right mind would do this, if not a prophet? For he received revelation stating, quote, Allah will defend you from men who mean mischief. So he understood this as a promise from Allah to protect him and released his bodyguards upon the strength of this promise. When Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam planned the emigration from Mecca to Medina, a crowd, a mob of assassins surrounded his home. The intention was that they would kill him together, en masse, so that no one person would be blamed with the murder, but the blame would be distributed among all of the tribes. What did he do? He supplicated to Allah. He recited Quran. He walked out of his house, and he walked through their midst, and not a single person saw him. In this way, because Allah had confused the assassins and blinded their eyes to his presence, he was able to walk out of his house and out of Mecca and begin the emigration to Medina. And en route to Medina, they were chased by all of Quraysh, who had been offered a reward for their return. Surqa ibn Malik, one of the famed warriors, hungry for this reward, came upon them with his horse and charged at them. But as he approached, the horse stumbled and fell and threw him. He cast arrows, as was the habit of the pagan Arabs of that time, and he found the signs were not positive. But he was still so hungry for the reward, he got back on his horse, tried to charge again, the horse tripped again and threw him. He was a renowned horseman. For him to have been thrown by the horse was something very, very unusual, but it happened not only twice, he did it again, and he was thrown a third time. And it was so impressive upon him that he stopped within shouting distance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised Surqa ibn Malik, that if he would turn back from his pursuit, one day he would wear the crown and the bracelets of the emperor of Persia. And on that note, we will take a quick break. Stay with us. Complete. Welcome back. This is Dr. Lawrence Brown continuing this episode where we are discussing the signs suggestive of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I left off discussing how Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was accosted by Surqa ibn Malik on his emigration from Mecca to Medina. They were chased by all of Quraysh, who had been offered a reward for their return. Surqa ibn Malik, one of the famed warriors, hungry for this reward, came upon them with his horse and charged at them. But as he approached, the horse stumbled and fell and threw him. He cast lots or cast arrows, as was the habit of the pagan Arabs of that time, and he found the signs were not positive. But he was still so hungry for the reward, he got back on his horse, tried to charge again, the horse tripped again and threw him. He was a renowned horseman. For him to have been thrown by the horse was something very, very unusual, but it happened not only twice, he did it again, and he was thrown a third time. And it was so impressive upon him that he stopped within shouting distance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam promised Surqa ibn Malik, that if he would turn back from his pursuit, one day he would wear the crown and the bracelets of the Emperor of Persia. Now, we have to remember, for anybody but a prophet, this would have been a wild prophecy, a wild foretelling. Persia was one of the great world powers of the time. Persia was on the brink of being the major power of the time throughout the world. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his small band of followers are emigrating, escaping persecution from the Quraysh, running to Medina for a place where they could live as a small band, to promise that somehow in the future Surqa ibn Malik would be able to wear the crown and the bracelets of the Emperor of Persia was not just a bold promise. For anybody but a prophet, it would have been considered insane. And yet this is exactly how it happened. Surqa ibn Malik, although a disbeliever, like the other enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, knew him for his exemplary character. They could not deny his character, although they did deny the revelation. And even the enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew him as as-Sadiq al-Amin, the truthful, the trustworthy. And so based upon these words from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as crazy they might have sounded coming from anybody else, Surqa ibn Malik turned around and went away, returned to Mecca. And sure enough, many years later, after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had passed from his worldly existence, the Muslims did defeat the major world power of Persia, and Surqa ibn Malik did wear the crown and the bracelets of the Chosroes, the Emperor of Persia. And so this most unlikely prophecy came true, another powerful evidence for the prophethood of Muhammad. Peace be upon him. At the Battle of Badr, the Muslims were outnumbered 4-1. The Quraysh had a cavalry. The Muslims did not. The Quraysh had mail and armor, basically, to protect their bodies. The Muslims did not. The Quraysh not only outnumbered them, but had strength in weapons and strength in their own protection in the form of this mail. All the same, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he saw their army at a distance, he took a handful of earth and threw it at them, saying, "Confusion seized their faces." Immediately a storm, a desert storm, stirred up, causing confusion in the ranks of the enemy. The battle ensued. The Muslims were victorious. Remember, the enemy outnumbered the Muslims 4-1. At the conclusion of the battle, the dead of the enemy outnumbered the Muslims 5-1, exactly the opposite from what you would expect. If the enemies outnumbered the Muslims, you would expect more dead among the Muslims than among the superior force. It was exactly opposite. The Muslims were victorious. The vast army of the Quraysh was put into retreat, and Allah revealed, quote, "When you threw," meaning this handful of dust that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam threw, "when you threw, it was not your act, but Allah's." Maysara, Muhammad's caravan companion, related that while they were on caravan, he noted that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shaded by clouds, which followed him. Bahira, a Nestorian monk, is recorded to have identified Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the final foretold prophet by a birthmark on his back, which he identified as the seal of prophethood. And he made this identification when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a child traveling with the caravan. Perhaps the greatest miracle, or I should say one of the greatest, because there were so many, that occurred during the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to identify him as a prophet, was Al-Isra wal-Miraj, the journey and the ascension. The story of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam having been mystically transported from Mecca to Jerusalem by a horse, a flying horse, through the air, ascending through the heavens, descending again, and traveling back to Mecca all in one night. Quite obviously, when he told of this journey, people were speculative. They had understandable consternation. However, when they asked him, since he had allegedly traveled to Jerusalem, to describe Jerusalem for their benefit, even though he had never been there, he described it to all who had been there, and they identified that, in fact, he could only be giving a description as one who had seen it with their own eyes. In addition, in transit, on the trip back at night, he had traveled in the sky, and so he had passed a caravan 2 days distant from Mecca, 2 days distant from Mecca. No way by any other means to know of this caravan at that place in time. He described the caravan to the Quraysh. He described the people. He described the animals. He described the events. So all of these are miraculous events occurring around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as indications of his prophethood. Now let's move on to miracles that were performed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the will of Allah. This is a long list. Again, books have been written about this subject alone. I will only encapsulize the issues. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through invoking the blessings of Allah, was known to have brought milk to the udders of dry sheep. He was known to have energized camels that were too weary to walk, and they would become the fastest among them. He was known to have fed and watered the masses with minuscule quantities. He was known to have done other miracles such as healing, such as transforming a stick of wood into a sword for a soldier who needed one, etc. Scores of hungry poor were fed from a bowl of milk judged sufficient for one. When they looked at the bowl, it looked like it was enough only for one person. And yet, when he invoked blessings over it, everybody drank from it, scores of people drank from it, and it was not depleted. An army numbering over 1,000 was fed from a measure of flour and a little pot of meat so small that it was thought sufficient for only 10 people. This was at the Battle of the Trench. In another case, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered the mixed foodstuffs of an army of 1,400. It came to a few handfuls of mixed foodstuffs. He invoked Allah's blessings over it. 1,400 people ate from it, filled their stomachs, and there was so much left over that they filled their saddlebags as well. From a few handfuls of foodstuff, 1,400 were fed and filled their saddlebags. On another occasion, an army of 1,400 men ran out of water. They only had a very small quantity of water, a few handfuls. Again, he invoked blessings over it, and it became enough water to water them. It became enough water for everyone to perform ablution. In the same way, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam exercised spirits, healed the broken leg of Abdullah ibn Atiq. He healed the war-wounded leg of Salama. He healed the inflamed eye of Ali, the bleeding wound of another man, the poisonous sting to Abu Bakr's foot, and restored the vision to a blind man. When the people were suffering from drought, he prayed for rain, and it rained. When the rain continued too long, they asked him, he prayed for the rain to be around us, but not upon us, whereupon the rain divided, and instead of being upon them, surrounded them for their comfort and to prevent the damage from the downpour. Many times he received revelation that proved prophetic, and we will continue this discussion when we return next time. This is Dr. Lawrence Brown bidding you peace.